Johann Sebastian Bach. In the words of New York Times music critic from years ago, Herbert Ruskell, this aria with 30 variations is one of the most fascinating pieces.
Welcome. My goodness, we're you know what the problem is, everybody listening in, is that first of all, you're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host, Peter Pastore, on Listening Lyrics, and this is kind of an emotional show for me. It's the last show in the old studio. This is my last show of the year. On January, whatever that is, 3rd or 4th, whatever the Friday is, I'll be back in a new studio. And in this one, I've done about 400 interviews. And you know, I'm going to miss it. It's kind of a funky little place. Today, we have Rumi Shimada, and along with Aidan Marr. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us, Peter.
Okay, real close. You're welcome. Welcome back. And this is your second time here.
Yeah.
So knowing that this is also your last time in this studio, are you a little emotional about this?
I'm very emotional.
How emotional are you? Can you write a song about this?
I could write three songs about this.
I love it. I love it. Well, anyways, you were on the air here maybe 4, 5, 6 months ago. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I did say to you that whenever you put something new out, I want to hear about it, and you put something new out, and we're going to hear about it. Right?
Yes.
All righty. Okay. Aidan, do you want to say something about yourself? Everybody knows Rumi now. You know, when did you pick up music? What kind of instruments do you play?
Oh, boy. I'm a drummer. I had sticks in my hands when I was probably 3 years old, you know, thanks to my dad, who's also a drummer. And just been kind of messing around for years, and finally started taking it seriously, you know, back probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago now. And, you know, I found Rumi through a friend at school who happens to play bass, our buddy Carlos, who unfortunately couldn't make it today. That was probably, September-ish.
Okay. Yeah.
So only really been with him for a couple months, but I'm loving every minute together. You know,
perfect.
Playing some great music.
Perfect.
I love this guy. He's so good.
Nice. Are you one of those drummers that uses your head as as your fifth arm or leg?
No, I'm not.
These guys that just, you know.
No, I keep it pretty simple, pretty okay. standard most of the time.
Okay. What do you think is the best song that you know of in which drums are used effectively?
In Rumi's music or just ever?
Ever.
Oh, boy.
Or just name one that you liked.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy. How about you, Rumi? Well, he's thinking about it.
About drums?
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely not. That is not my expertise.
Okay, guitar then.
That's
acoustic guitar.
That's not my expertise either.
What is your expertise?
I don't know. I haven't quite gotten there yet.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to find out. Did you think of one?
Not really. There's okay. too many options, honestly.
Hal Blaine, do you know him? Look him up.
I can't say I do.
He's one of the better drummers. You've heard him many times.
I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
I'm sure I have.
All righty. So we're going to play some of your new album, which we will. And we just finished playing Is It? You wrote that.
Yeah.
You performed it. Mm-hmm. You did everything.
Yeah.
All the music.
Yeah, on that EP, that's just me messing around on the computer.
No help.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
This guy's a legend.
Yeah, wow. Okay, and then you're going to do some live stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do some. Everything on the EP is pretty much piano-based.
Okay.
Or keyboard-based, and I figured it'd be weird if I lugged the keyboard into here and played the same song, so we'll just do acoustic stuff.
I like it. I would like to talk, you're working together now, and you have another person in your band? Yeah,
the core group is Aiden, Carlos, and I. Carlos is the bassist that Aiden and him play music together at college.
Right. Tell me, I have never been in a recording studio where they're actually recording. Although I will admit, I did peek through the window once when someone was recording. It was a big name, not Joe Cocker or someone else, but someone on that level at A&M Recording Studios in L.A. I was allowed to stand there and watch just through a door window, which was kind of interesting. But the vibe between the different players, when I saw what was going on in the recording studio, they were all in their own different booths. I couldn't sense they were even looking at each other. On stage, I see you guys like nodding to each other and like, okay, I'm going to do this. And the people are agreeing. And yeah, I'm in a vibe. I'm smiling and all of this. Why is that so different in a recording studio?
I think it depends on the recording studio and how the engineer likes to set up the session, because a lot of times they are worried about bleed, meaning sounds from another musician gets into the mic of, you know, the bassist.
Right.
Say the drummer, his drum sound comes in through the guitarist's amp mic or whatever it is.
They want them all on separate tracks.
Yeah, so they kind of isolate them in different rooms.
Yeah.
But then there's also some people like to have more of a approach where they want the band interacting with each other, because that's where they get the best synergy. So they'll have them all in one room. Maybe there's some kind of consideration as to how they can minimize bleed. So maybe they'll have some some kind of divider, but they can still all see each other. They're basically oriented kind of in a semicircle or however they're comfortable.
Right.
And honestly, I don't think there's much of a difference.
Okay.
I think it's it's very slight. There's all this gating stuff that you can use. And
Do you produce for other people songs?
No.
Would you like to?
Yeah, definitely.
What makes a good producer? People are listening now, and all these people that are thinking about putting out a new album, thinking maybe I should call Rumi.
I can't really say too much because I don't have experience producing other people's music. But for myself, I could say I think a producer is not necessarily the engineer. The engineer's the one in charge of all the technical stuff, the mixing, the tracking, and all that. The producer tends to be – the producer can take on both roles, but the producer's the one overseeing it all and sort of making sure that the product gets manufactured the way that they want it. So they tell the engineer, like, hey, this mix is muddy or
– what do you mean by muddy?
It's – there's too much low end. It's kind of unclear.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
I've heard albums like that.
Yeah, and then the producer also talks to the artist and, you know, says maybe, okay, this song goes on for too long. Let's cut out the last verse and go straight to the bridge or whatever.
Okay.
You know, they're kind of, they're overseeing the product in its entirety and they're shaping it. So I would say a good producer is someone who has a good sense of what the artist needs or what needs to be done to the artist's songs. A good producer is someone who knows how the artist needs to present their songs in order for them to be like most well packaged and delivered to people's ears, I guess.
Yeah.
So they hear the sound that the artist has and they know how to communicate it, you know, to
I get it. Listener. Yeah. It's a very responsible job because I've heard of big names and the producer completely screwed it up, you know? I fell in love with listening to this young kid in England, Jake Bugg, and it was just a raw, wonderful album. And then Ruben, I think, a big producer here in the U.S., got hold of him, and the next album was nothing like that. It was so overproduced and in the studio and violins and all of that, and the kid just disappeared in the music, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. Alrighty, we're going to play one song. It's a very short one, and I'm reminding people it's very short because it shows you somewhat of what's going on in Rumi's head. I think if you were sitting in a psychiatrist's office and you started talking like what you're singing about here, groping around for the light switch.
Yeah, I'm not even singing on that one.
No, I know, but it's very eclectic, I guess, is the right word for it. How would you describe it?
Eclectic's a good word.
Okay, let's take a listen. Groping around for the light switch. We've all done that. We were talking while that song was playing that. It reminds me of some of the stuff the Beatles did. And a lot of bands did that back in the early 60s when all this electronic stuff became available and people were playing with it, and now you're doing it. And what made you do that?
I believe it was I was toying around with the track Where. It's the one right after that on the EP.
Okay.
And I had recorded some upright piano, and I was toying around with reversing the piano, and it started sounding really cool. I was actually kind of, at first, I was reversing just sort of the sustain, you know, as the piano, the sound was slowly decaying, and I liked how it was started quiet and then would come in stronger and stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. So then I just started chopping it up and reversing different parts and layering it and stuff, and it kind of took care of itself.
Okay, we're well into our second quarter already, and you guys are going to perform live. You're going to be singing.
Yeah.
Are you going to sing? Just boom, boom, booming it.
Yeah, just playing the cajon.
On the cajon.
Someday, though.
On the cajon.
Soon.
On the big cajon. And the name of the song again?
Wrap Around Both Sides.
Let's do it.
Settles in to a pace, lose its identity and face. He needs a divine and a yellow set of lines. Outline all the places he should cry. So walk with me through the lanes. Memory only lives in silence.
That was kind of rude and abrupt ending. I wasn't ready for it. My goodness. Sorry?
Could you hear the cajon through that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it came in very well.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. You were doing very well there. The song itself, I want to understand how you come around to creating that. Now, that's a difficult question. did you wake up one morning and sort of had a melody in mind, or did you work on it sitting behind a keyboard just playing around with different keys?
Yeah, I think that song was, I wrote that actually a long time ago. That was like my junior year of high school.
Oh, good Lord.
We were on I was on a camping trip with my friend, and we were going up the Oregon coast, and then we ended up, what did we do? Oh, yeah, we were in Sisters, Oregon, and I don't know how much I can talk about on the show, but we did some things that might have gotten us in trouble with the local authorities.
Yeah, I've done a lot of things that got me in trouble with local authorities.
We got really paranoid, and I think maybe at the time weed was not legal in Oregon.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Anyway, we thought it wasn't. So we were sitting in our camping spot watching the cops come through because I guess someone had called.
Oh, Lord.
And I had my guitar, and I had this shape, and somehow the fear inspired that song, and then I wrote that song there. Or most of it.
Nice.
I don't know how that came about, but I don't think there's a whole lot of thinking involved.
Yeah.
It's just
okay.
Some nice just sounds on the guitar. It's like, oh, this is cool.
We're gonna play another one from your EP called Where, and then we'll talk about it. Okay. That was a nice little ending there. You know, you've got a real knack for this. We got to get you out more. We got to get you more and more gigs. I don't know, how am I going to help you do this? Can I be your manager?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Wow. 20%?
Can't say no. If you're okay with making like $5 a gig.
20%. Yeah, that's a buck. I like it. Let's see. I think I told you I was reading the book about Sam Cooke. He would get $1 per person coming in the door. This is 50s now, so it was more money.
Right.
And then any tickets sold after whatever the 80% was that the crowd could fill in, he would get all of the money.
Okay.
That was his stick. But this is the 50s. There's no credit cards. There's no Venmo. There's no nothing.
Right.
So he had to have his people sitting with the people that take the tickets to make sure everything was kosher.
Yeah.
You got it? Speaking of kosher, although it has nothing to do with kosher, but where you guys are from, the Auburn area, there is someone out there that I'd like to know about. So who's going to help us with this?
I can help.
Yeah?
So Russ Tolman is going to be playing, and it's the production is the Russ Tolman Good Time Hour.
What is that?
He welcomes special guest Anton Barbeau.
Oh, my God. No way. When?
Friday, December 20th at 5 p.m.
Got to make that, y'all.
Where is it?
Well, it's going to be right here, actually, on KDRT 95.7 FM Davis.
I can't believe
KDRT.
it.
KDRT.org worldwide.
Worldwide, even. Give me some more information.
Singer-songwriter Anton Barbeau is a local legend, born and raised in Sacramento, California. He's well known for combining surreal lyrics with catchy pop melodies in the tradition of Robin Hitchcock and Syd Barrett. A multi-instrumentalist, Anton plays guitar, bass, drums, piano, synths, and mellotron. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Can you tell me about the mellotron? No.
Not much.
What is it? It's an electronic thing, is it?
I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember.
Here we are. Here I am sitting with two musicians and myself, who's been involved in the music, not the business, but just involved in the music. I've heard the name, and I think the mellotron used to be an instrument that was popular in the 60s, maybe. Maybe.
It sounds like some kind of keyboard-related instrument,
yes,
but I could be totally wrong.
Yes. Well, anyways, thank you for helping me on that, guys. Do you have another live one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but before we do that, we played the song Where. What was that all about?
That was actually a poem that this guy wrote for me at the fairgrounds in Nevada City. He had a little card table up, and he had a typewriter, and he had a sign on his table that said Poems from the Dome. And so the idea was you pick a topic for him to write about, and he'll write you a poem about it in like a few minutes. And I picked death, and then he wrote me a poem in a couple minutes, and I liked the lyrics, so I took pieces of it, kind of butchered it, and made it into a song.
I can do that for you. I come up with them just like that.
That'd be perfect. I'd love to butcher.
I use
poems.
AI. You know, it actually AI does pretty good job on some of these things.
Yeah, it's scary.
I know, it's very scary.
Especially
have you used it?
Making music. It's
yes.
Pretty disheartening.
Yes, I like to dabble in writing. I wrote a poem, and I asked AI to put it to music, and it could have been a hit. If only, you know, I could have been on late night TV or something.
Yeah. Well, but what's kind of sad about that is obviously, like, yes, they could just make hits with AI, but people can go on one of those websites, those AI songwriting websites, and that they'll ask them to have AI write them a song in a certain style, and the AI will play it for them and give them the chords and everything, and then they can just claim that they wrote that song.
Right, right.
And not have to put any effort in. And
yeah. I didn't do it, but I think for $5 I could have done that to my song, to my words anyway.
Yeah.
Not the song. But anyways, I couldn't thank anyone for doing that for me. There was no one available on that website to thank. Okay, another song here. What do we got?
Yeah. Do Untitled. We're going to do a song that doesn't have a name currently.
Okay, I like those kind of songs. We had someone last week that had a song without a name.
Yeah, Noah.
Noah, yeah.
I think he called it It was a good song, though. I enjoyed it.
Well, let's go.
There is a song in the shape of my heart, and it screams across the pavement.
The guitar work on that is very nice, very nice. The cajon, what do you need to play that? How? I mean, it seems like anyone could sit on that thing and just start beating, but I'm sure there's
Absolutely.
More to it.
Yeah, not really. Yeah. You just need, you know, some capable hands and some basic rhythm, and you know you can kind of mess around, just
yeah.
have some fun, and you know play a beat to. Pretty much anything, really.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. But you're also a drummer with a regular drum set.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any thoughts on would you prefer that or the drum set? Or
there's a lot more options
yeah.
on a regular drum set. You know, a lot more color that you can add to music. And, you know, a lot more complexity that you can add to it. But... It's kind of fun sometimes to just sit here on a little box and
yeah.
and try and make music with the simplest of instruments.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that you said color. That's how Noah describes some of his when he's playing the guitar. He sees shapes, and if people sort of join in with him and he's trying to harmonize with someone else on the guitar, he sees colors. I can't. I think I said on the air, I can't wrap my head around that. I don't know how to do that. You play a song and you see a triangle or a square or a circle. I don't know. Hey, everybody. The Acme Theater Company is a community troupe that that is managed by local high school students. ACME gives all participants the opportunity to perform on stage, learn theater tech work, and develop leadership skills. For audition and performance information, I have a place where you can go, and that is ACME Theater, spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E, acmetheater.net. And the reason I read that today is because not only because they're a perfect group. I was coming through a little out there. I'm sorry, guys. But not only is it a wonderful organization and wonderful kids that put on a show, and they're having a show that starts right after the new year. And I encourage you to look it up. Go to acmetheater.net. And if any way you get there, it's right here in Davis at Memorial Union. So that's it for that. That was my work. My work's done now. Now it's up to you guys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, I've never done this. We'll start with you, Rumi. You ask a question that you're interested in.
Okay.
Ask it for Aiden.
For Aiden.
Yeah. I'm going to introduce you to my nerve-wracking job here.
Okay. Aiden, I was curious, when you have a blank slate when it comes to accompanying a song that doesn't have a drum part yet, what's the first thing that you latch onto? The most crucial, important, fundamental pillar of supporting the song that you think of?
I feel like for me, the biggest thing to get first is the form of the song. As long as I know where I'm going, it makes my job a whole lot easier. And kind of trying to figure out the basic rhythms of the music and what I need to hit alongside, in this case, Rumi and his guitar playing. Those are kind of the first things that I look at, and I see how I need to go alongside it or kind of have a contrasting sound to support it.
This is going to be a new feature on my show. I'm going to keep doing this. Yeah.
You're going to torture your interviewees.
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's your turn for a question.
Where do you find the most inspiration for your lyrics?
Honestly, a lot of the time.
No.
That can be a last resort, I guess. A lot of the time... to be completely honest, the inspiration for my lyrics comes from me. It's like I'll write down the opposite of what I don't like, if that makes any sense. So I might not have any inspiration, and I'll just start writing things down, and I'm like, wow, this is all terrible. And then I'll just find the logical inverse of what I just wrote down and put that down instead.
No one has ever answered a question like that the way you have.
Yeah,
that's
that was a weird answer.
No, it's not weird. It's being artistic. It's being creative. It's being using your head.
I guess so. Yeah, that. I guess that's the most accurate way I can describe it.
Okay.
But.
Okay, let's see. We've got a little bit of time, but I do want to get through your album here. Let's do Savior. What's it all about?
It's a feeling.
Now you've perked my interest. So Savior, right away I'm thinking, okay, maybe a little religious overtone. But
no.
No.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just a very strong, uncomfortable feeling that I was trying to describe in kind of cryptic words.
Okay.
But I honestly don't even remember what the feeling was, because it was there's nothing totally clear about the lyrics.
Let's play it. Let's hear what Savior is all about.
Thank you.
Savior, Rumi Shimada. Nicely done, Rumi. Very nice.
Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome. From your own studio, your own computer, and you don't use a keyboard in that. You just use the computer.
I use a keyboard.
Oh, you did.
But
okay.
It's connected via MIDI.
So yeah. I even know what a MIDI is. Good
or actually, God. No, it's not MIDI. It's just a direct in from a keyboard.
Like this thing.
Yeah.
A wire. Yes. Yeah. Okay. We're approaching the last quarter here, and I want to remind everybody they're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. You're listening to Listening Lyrics. I'm your host, Peter Pastore, and with me today I have Rumi Shimada. And I also have Aidan Marr. And they're in here entertaining us with some live music. And they're going to do another one right now. This one is another unnamed one? Or
this one has a name.
Whoa. What is it?
Surprising.
Yeah.
It's called Body.
Body.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm sorry.
He's sorry about his body.
Cool.
Some pictures while you guys are doing that. That'll be up on our website tomorrow morning, everybody. If you're wondering what these guys look like, because he was singing about body, so you can check out the pictures or the picture tomorrow. Check out the pictures. Yeah, check out the pictures. So, okay. And you're having a somewhat of a busy schedule starting next year, but nothing's confirmed yet, so we can't talk about gigs.
Unfortunately not. We could speculate a little bit if you wanted.
No. That's, I mean, we could. If you want to, we can. But, you know, we'll be sending thousands of people to nowhere.
Oh, yeah. There'd be, like, mass displacement.
Yeah. Running up the hill. Are you performing with a band or on your own? Or both?
Probably the majority of it will be with a band, but there will be a few gigs that are just solo.
Okay. One thing I noticed in that last song, you picked up the orange there. Could you shake that for us?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. When you did that right at the beginning of the song, it kind of like it woke me up. You know, it did something to it.
Yeah.
Is that normal? Is that what you're looking for? I mean, really, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I needed to listen.
Yeah, that's kind of the goal for me at the start of really any song, but especially Rumi's music, is just trying to bring kind of as much intrigue as I can and, you know, keeping things real light and open in the beginning to kind of try and draw you in and make people want to hear what's coming next.
Yeah.
Aiden lights a fire up under our butts. And I feel like that's what a good drummer should do.
Okay. But a lot of times the drummer is the butt of all jokes, right?
Unfortunately. We get a bad rap
almost
sometimes.
Almost like a, what do they call those harmonica players? Do you have a harmonica player in yours?
Are you talking about an accordion?
Or an accordion, accordion.
We're moving towards that.
Once you heard the old joke. You heard the old joke, right? The accordion player was meeting the drummer at a diner, and the accordion player says, "Oh my God, I left the windows down, and my accordion's in the car." So he runs out, checks out the car, and he comes back in all dejected. And the drummer says, "Oh, what happened?" He says, "Oh, now there's three accordions in the car." You've heard that one?
No, I haven't. That's a good one.
Okay. You just finished one. We've talked about that. We've got one more song to go. I Need a Doctor.
Yeah.
For what? What ails you?
Well, there's a gentleman who is bleeding out, and he needs a doctor.
Whoa. Like he got shot or something?
It never really says.
Ooh, let's take a listen. I Need a Doctor. I need a doctor. The end of the song is kind of, did he die?
I mean, we don't know if the doctor showed up, so.
Oh, so he's a goner.
Yeah, at least mentally. I mean, the way he was talking, it was a little.
He's okay, I'm going to share this story real quick because we're running out of time. So I have a ring here, right? And this was my father's. So I was telling on our bike trip, I was telling my grandson, he's 17 now. I said, so you're going to get this ring. You know what he said to me?
What do you say?
Do I get it when you croak? Talk about being brutal.
Yeah.
What was your response to that?
I just said, yeah, I was stunned, you know.
Just the truth choice, is, once I'm, words.
Once I'm gone, it doesn't matter who gets my ring. I have no say in it.
Right.
Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Listening Lyrics right here on KDRT with Aidan Marr and Rumi Shimada. Hailing from the greater Sacramento area, I can sort of say that. You guys are welcome back anytime. You let me know when you're performing somewhere. I'd
Absolutely.
Love to go and take a look sometime. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much, okay. Peter.
Thank you. You're a good drummer. Keep
you,
it up.
Sir.
Have fun in school. And, yeah, we'll see you all guys later. This is the last show of the year. I'll be back early next year with... it's a Canadian. I have a Canadian guest on. That's all I can say.
All right.
All righty.